But also want to say thank you for being here this evening. Thank you for supporting the new Sunday night service. I hope you continue to come in the future. And I also want to say before I begin, I want to give an announcement, a very exciting announcement. I don't know, I have no voice there, but we'll just ignore that. And that is Paul and Holly are engaged. Congratulations, guys, and I'm sure you can find out the story later on. Well, I'm going to pray if you'd like to join me. Father God, thank you that we can be here together this evening. Thank you that we can be together. Thank you that you bring us together. We thank you that you give us your word. Father, I pray that now that you'll help me to speak truthfully and accurately from your word. May our hearts and lives be challenged to keep on living for the one true God and for Jesus. Amen. One God, one love, one way, one truth, one life, one hope, one Redeemer, one King. One. This is what we'll be talking about between now and Christmas. One. That is our theme for these next couple of months. And tonight I'm going to begin by talking about the one God. Now, I thought I was very impressed when I made that slide during the week, but I'm sure you would have worked that out a lot quicker than me. We live in a world today, don't we, that would like you to think or would like you to believe that there is actually no God? That's what a lot of people would like you to believe. Or perhaps at the other end of the spectrum, you know someone like I do, who's a Hindu, who says there is 330 million different gods. So no God, 330 million different gods. But according to the Bible, there is only one God. And so let's look at what the Bible says about this and then think about what this means for our lives as we live them day by day. So first of all, from the Bible reading that Jess read to us, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And if we go to the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says this, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, do you notice that it doesn't say, "In the beginning, gods created the heaven and the earth"? No, it says, "In the beginning, God," implying one God, the one true God, created the heavens and the earth. And so my question to you is, do you know the one true God? Are you in a relationship with the one true God? Do you know your Maker? Do you know the one who made you? I heard a story recently about a young guy. Now, this young guy had just gotten his license, so he was very excited. But like all young guys, when he just got his license, he wanted to show off. So he's showing off to his mates. He was showing off to try and impress the girls. But he failed because his car broke down. Now, the car that his dad had gotten him was actually a Ford. And it broke down at the side of the road. That's not saying anything about Fords, but it just happened to be a Ford. But this is what happened. The car broke down. At first, this guy was angry. He's like, "Oh, my car broke down." You can imagine what he's like, hitting the bonnet. Then he was embarrassed because he knew that all his mates were around the corner waiting for him to come screaming around again. But this is what happened next. An elderly gentleman pulled up behind him, got out of the car and said, "Do you need any help?" Now, this young guy, he was very arrogant. He was a bit embarrassed and he was like, I don't need this guy helping me," and kind of tried to brush him off. But the elderly gentleman said, "You just need to do this, this, and this, and your car will be fixed." Well, the young guy was desperate. He had no other options, and so he gave it a go. And guess what? It worked. His car was fixed. And then the young guy was amazed and he said, "Who are you?" And the man said, "My name is Henry Ford." The guy who invented the Ford was the guy that pulled over on the side of the road to help him. So this guy went from being arrogant to very excited because he just met the maker of his car. And again, my question to you this evening is, do you know the one true God? Are you in relationship with the one true God? Do you know your maker? Well, you might be thinking, well, my parents made me. But then, who made them? And who made them? And who made them? Because according to the Bible, if you keep going back, you'll get back to the very first two humans, Adam and Eve. And who made them? Well, according to the Bible, God made them, which means he made each and every one of us too. You see, according to the Bible, we are all made by the one true God. That is how we got here. So you are not here this evening. You are not alive by accident or fluke or chance. It's not some random accident that you're here and alive. No, God, the one true God, your maker, made you. And this is exactly what it says in Acts 17, verses 24 to 28. Listen carefully to what it says. "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your poets have said, we are his offspring." So again, Acts is pointing us to the fact that God made the world. The one true God made the world and he made us. We are his offspring. As it says in Psalm 139, God knit us together inside our mothers. Now, if you believe this, if you believe in the one true God, this will radically change the direction of your life. Because if you believe in the one true God, it will impact all the decisions that you make now and forever. Because you will make decisions based upon the fact that you are now accountable to the one true God. However, if you don't believe this, this will also impact your life direction as well and impact every decision that you make. Because you will make decisions based upon what you think is best for your life and not based upon what God actually says is best for our life. So whatever you believe this morning, whether you believe, or not this morning, this evening, whether you believe or don't believe, it impacts the direction of your life and impacts all the decisions that you make now and forever. So again, let's look at what the passage says that Jess read out to us. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 5 reaffirms again, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And this is what we are to do in response. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." In response, we are to love God. Now, I'm going to talk more about love next week, so I'm just going to pause verse 5 there and then come back next week to hear more. But let's look now at what verses 6 to 8 says, 6 to 9. Because in verses 6 to 9, the people are also told in response to the one true God, they are to remember the one true God. They are not to forget about him. They are to remember God. They are to remember the commandments. And they are to do things as a way of reminding themselves of the one true God. And so this is what it says. This is how they can remind themselves of the one true God each and every day. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of the houses of your houses and on your gates. And so because God loves them, because God has rescued them, they are to love him in return, and they are to remember the one true God. And God says they are to do these things as ways of remembering him. They are to pass what they know about God onto their children. They are to talk about God with one another. Do you do that with your friends? Do you talk about God as a way of remembering the one true God? They are to have the symbols tied, have the commands tied around their hands as a way of reminding themselves, a bit like a wristband perhaps. They are to bind them to their foreheads. You think, well, how do they do that? Well, picture like a hat with maybe some tassels over it hanging in front of their eyes. So they always had like the commandments in front of them. They could always see that as a visual reminder as God. Now, that's pretty extreme, isn't it? You could wear one of those hats to maybe MacArthur Square next time you go there. They are to engrave the commandments on their door frames. They are to write it on their gates. They are to do whatever they can so that they remember the one true God and do not forget about him. Because it's very easy to forget about God, isn't it? We'll probably finish this sermon, and hopefully not, but we finish and you go to dinner, very easy to forget about the sermon. Very easy to walk out these doors and forget about the sermon and forget about God. And so what practical things are you going to do to remember the one true God? When you wake up tomorrow morning, how will you remember the one true God? Well, we can use some of the things suggested here as a guideline. Now, it probably wouldn't be wise to engrave God's commands on your door frames. Maybe your parents wouldn't be impressed with that, and I know my real estate agent wouldn't be too impressed if I did that. But perhaps you could have some Bible verses printed out and put around your room as a way of reminding yourself of God, reminding yourself of the scriptures, reminding yourself of his commandments. So you can take down your Justin Bieber posters, take down your One Direction posters. Kai, take down your Justin Bieber poster. And put up some Bible verses. I remember one of my best mates, when I went into his room, first time I went to his house, went into his bedroom, I was a new Christian, but that is exactly what he did. He had Bible verses printed all around his bedroom. A couple of surfing posters, but lots of Bible passages. That is a great way to remind yourself that there is a one true God each and every day. Perhaps you can get a Bible app on your phone that sends you daily Bible verses as a reminder that there is one true God. Maybe you can start taking notes at church as a way to remember and remind yourself of the things that you learn. And there were some notebooks as you came in this evening, and they'll be there each and every week. Or perhaps for you, you need a set Bible reading and prayer plan each and every day as a way of remembering the one true God. And for me, that's first thing in the morning. I get up, read my Bible and pray before the kids get up, because after that, I forget. So I need a plan, and I'm sure you need a plan to read the Bible and pray as well. And why do we do this? Why do we need a plan? So we can be super religious? No. So that we can remember the one true God each and every day. So that we do not forget about him. Because that is what was going to happen to the people in Deuteronomy. It's sadly what did happen to the people in Deuteronomy. And we are given a little clue in verse 12, which says, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." Perhaps you remember God once a week when you come to church, but then the rest of the week you forget about him, and then you remember again when you come to church. Well, that's not the way to live the Christian life. We want to remember God each and every day. We don't want to slip into forgetfulness, and that was the warning given in this passage. Do these things so you remember the one true God and do not forget about him. Now, I do need to admit that I am very good at forgetting things. Very good. For example, I forget and lose my wallet, my keys, my glasses, my phone all the time. And even though I said that, I'm thinking, where is my phone? But it's down there. Recently, I forgot where I put my car keys, and it took me 1 hour to find them. And I didn't find them. My wife said, "Perhaps you left them outside on the bench," and she was right. The other day, I forgot to take my wallet to an appointment. I know, have you ever forgotten to take your wallet somewhere? And the classic for me is this one time I forgot my glasses. I thought I left them here at church, and I was at home, and I drove to church, but then I realized I forgot my church keys. So I had to drive back again, get my church keys, come back. My glasses weren't here. But then I remembered that I actually left them at home in my daughter's bag. So I can be very forgetful. And I know spiritually, unless I do things, I can easily forget about God as well. Unless I have a set plan each day and have little things to remind me of God, it is very easy to get distracted by the world and forget about the one true God. And I don't want that for you during the week. I want you to remember the one true God that is in the Bible. So what is it that you are going to do this week to help you remember the one true God? And perhaps that's something that you can talk about over dinner. Now, what is the big reason that they were forgetting the one true God? Well, the big reason is that the land that they were living in, the land that they were going in to, that God was giving to them, was so good, they get so distracted by the land that they'll forget about the God who actually gave them that land. The land is so good that they're going to forget about the God that gave them to them. This is what it says in verses 10 to 12. "When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then you will eat and are satisfied. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." Why were they going to forget about the one true God? Because the land that they were going into was so good, they're going to get distracted by the land and therefore forget about the one true God. Now think about the land that we live in today. How many distractions there are. What is Australia known as? It's known as the lucky country, isn't it? There are so many good things in our country. We can get distracted by the land and the lifestyle that we have here. We can very easily forget about the one true God. So therefore, this is an important scripture for us, that we learn from their mistakes, that we do not make the same mistakes that they did. Take therefore seriously what it says in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1 says this, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years of approach, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them." What does Ecclesiastes 12:1 tell us to do? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. I guarantee you that guy would not have forgotten Henry Ford when he met him. or you've encountered the one true God, remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Now, also want to say this evening that remembering God is not entirely up to you as well. God does give us a little help. God does give us His Holy Spirit to help us remember Him. What is the role of the Holy Spirit? Well, one of His roles is He helps us remember God. What is the role of the Holy Spirit? Well, one of His roles is that He helps us remember Jesus. So God gives us a little help, but we are also to do things as well, to remember the one true God, even if it's as simple as having a Bible verse printed on your bedroom door. Do whatever it takes so that you remember and do not forget the one true God who created the heavens and the earth. Now, I want to finish by sharing how I came to know the one true God personally. Now, I remember when I was in year 10, I made a deliberate decision to push God away. I said to God, when I was in year 10, I said, God, I want to live my life now, and I will live for you when I am ready. Now, friends, that was a huge mistake. And that led me to do a lot of stupid things in year 10, year 11, year 12. And when I got to year 12, my parents looked at me and said, Simon, you are not allowed to go on schoolies. And I thought, bummer. They said, but instead, you can go on church schoolies. And I was like, they weren't believers at the time. And I was like, church schoolies? Well, that just sounded like the worst lame thing ever. But I had no other option. And I actually knew a few people that were Christians that I went surfing with. They were going on this church schoolies thing. So I thought, well, if they're going, they like surfing, I'll give it a go. So I went along in this church schoolies. Now, I admit, I did misbehave a little bit the first week. But the youth minister there continued to talk to me. And I remember we had this Bible study and he was talking about faith. And I was perplexed by this word faith. What does faith mean? And he gave me an answer that was really helpful for me at that time. He said to me, Simon, what does it mean to be unfaithful? And I realized at that point, I was being unfaithful to the one true God, and that my life needed to change. Now, a couple of nights later, I had a chat with another leader there, which convicted me more and really upset me that I cried like I never cried before. And I was in Hervey Bay, Queensland. I separated myself from the group. I went to the beach in the middle of the night. So in the middle of the night, on the beach in Hervey Bay, Queensland, alone, broken, bawling my eyes out, I cried out to the one true God. I repented of my sins, and I accepted Jesus into my life. And everything changed from that point. I had the one true God in my life. Now, the crazy thing is that that very same week, my best friend, someone in high school who was so influential on me, he was a strong Christian and he was so influential on me for becoming a Christian. That very same week, he chose to forget the one true God. He chose that very same week to walk away from the one true God. The land before him as a young 18-year-old was too good. But he was deceived. That wasn't the good life. But that's what he chose. So the same week that God helped me believe in him, my best friend at high school chose to forget the one true God. And it pains me to this day that he's made that decision. 15 years later, he's completely forgotten the one true God. Remember what I said earlier? Whatever you believe, that will shape the direction of your life. Whether you choose to believe, that will take you in one direction. If you choose not to believe, that will take you in another direction. So what do you believe tonight? Do you believe in the one true God? Are you in a relationship with the one true God? Do you know your Maker? Again, as it says in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we acknowledge you this evening that you are the one true God, the God of the universe, the maker of heaven and earth. And we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us. We thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through your creation, that you have revealed yourself to us through your Son Jesus Christ, that you reveal yourself to us through the Bible. So help us to believe and continue to believe in the one true God. Do not forget about you, but to remember you daily. Not weekly, monthly, but daily. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will help us to do that. And I do pray for my friend tonight, Heavenly Father, who has forgotten you. Father, I still continue to pray that he will remember you again. And like the prodigal son, I come home. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.